If you have your Bibles and you'd like, we're going to be in Isaiah 26 today. And I think you'll see there's so many good admonitions and encouragements about finding the peace of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 26 in verse 3. Let's start there this morning. The Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee." How many of you have had some chaos in your life recently? Anyone? It seems sometimes it kind of comes in rhythms, doesn't it, right? It's like you feel like everything's kind of working, and then what happens? The refrigerator stops working, and the garage door breaks down, and three of the kids get sick, and something doesn't go right at school, and it's just like, right? The commercial when I was a kid, this is for all the old people out there, was Calgon, take me away. You guys remember that? Okay. The idea was that everything was so crazy, I need some peace. Now, I want you to look, if you take nothing else away from this morning, look at verse 3. Look at verse 3 on Isaiah 26. Isaiah says that God will keep him in what kind of peace? Perfect. Perfect peace. Whose mind is where? It is stayed on thee. Because I'm going to challenge you this morning. This is the problem why most of us rarely find peace, because we have the hardest time keeping our mind stayed on Christ. Our mind is everywhere else, right? I'm sitting there trying to pray in the pew this morning, and all I could think about is why the RF antennas that Cynthia and I bought weren't working yet. Trying to solve a problem, trying to do the next thing, right? And like, Lord, help me get focused and centered on what matters. And this, you guys, if you haven't already, you can highlight this in your Bible. This is a great promise of the Lord. The Lord will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he does what? He trusts, right? He trusts in the Lord. This morning, as we kind of enter into this idea of peace and looking for peace, first off, I want to say peace is more than the absence of conflict. Cemeteries can be peaceful, right? Because nothing's going on. It's more than just a quiet place. Peace is not just an absence, but this is what's important this morning. Peace is a presence. Peace is the presence of righteousness. If you guys will dig into the scriptures, if you have some time this week, do a little bit of searching about the word peace and the word righteousness, and when they are in close proximity, and you will find all throughout the scriptures that righteousness and peace are intertwined. They go together. If you look at the last phrase again in verse 3, what was the condition that our mind would be stayed on the Lord and we would have perfect peace because we did what? Because we trusted him. Because we made a choice, we made a decision to do what the Lord asked us to do. That's where we can find peace, even in crazy circumstances. All right, let's look together. We're going to spend our time, most all the time this morning, in the book of Isaiah here in chapter 26. And I hope you'll find some things that will encourage you. Again, coming, this idea of coming, the word Advent is the idea of coming. And we're going to see this phrase, and it's a very powerful phrase in the Old Testament, which is in that day. Look in verse 1 of chapter 26 with me. Isaiah writes, he says, "In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city, and God makes salvation its walls and its ramparts. Open the gates that the righteous nation may enter, the nation that keeps faith." Now, what I want you to see is this is a powerful phrase in the Old Testament, and you'll see it over and over again in the prophets. And that is those three words, in that day. Or you might say it this way, the day of the Lord. And the prophets were writing about a day that was going to come, that was going to change everything. And the phrases and the terms they would use would be the time that Messiah is coming, right? What are you looking forward to? Dinner? Some of you may be looking forward to a Colts victory, maybe a playoff berth. Some of you are looking forward to meeting with your family at Christmas time. Some of you may already have vacations planned next year, and you already got that on your mind, right? I'm looking forward to this. What the prophets, when they were writing this phrase, they were seeing the day when Messiah would come and he'd make everything right. And they were hungry and they were thirsty for that day. My challenge to you and to me today is that our mind will be pursuing the day of the Lord. With this day, there's a lot of things that come, and I want to see that. I want you to see that they're in two places. When the "in the day" phrase is used, or when the day of the Lord is used, I think this is your preacher's penology here a little bit this morning. I believe that refers to both comings most of the time. For example, did justice come when Jesus came the first time? You better believe it did, right? We did the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. The justice of God was poured out on his son, and that made a way for us to be reconciled to God. Justice came when Jesus came. Is justice going to come again? It is going to come again. Oh, man, I like this. Dana and I were talking about this not too long ago. It is okay and it is right to look forward to God's justice. I hope that the worst of sinners, because I'm one of the worst of sinners, will find redemption in Jesus. But I also know this to be true, that God will hold the whole world accountable and justice will come. And when Jesus comes the next time, he will mete out true justice. So if you're struggling this week with some injustice and you're concerned and you're troubled by seeing injustice, know that the coming of Jesus this Advent means that justice will come when he comes again. Reconciliation also came with Jesus the first time, right? Because Jesus came, he made a way for me to be reconciled to God. But God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet what? Sinners, Christ died for us. Reconciliation came with Messiah. Oh, you guys. When reconciliation comes the next time, when the Lord Jesus comes, we will be his people and he will be our God, right? You guys have to bear with me. This is way off track. I didn't even have this in the notes. But I love this movie. It's called Impossible. Have you ever seen Impossible, anyone? It's about the time when the tsunami came a few years ago. It was around Christmas, right? And so the Impossible movie is all this story about this family. When the tsunami comes, they're split up. And the mom and one of the boys, they get swept out at almost to the edge of the sea, and they're clinging literally in a tree, bleeding, hanging on for their very life. And then there's two other little boys and their dad, and they get pushed off a different way, and they find their way to a town, and then they're wondering if their mom and their brother is completely gone. So I'm spoiler alert, if you want to watch the movie, you need to close your ears. You watch their story, and you see this mom and the son try to make their way back, and she's so sick. She ends up being in a hospital, and the oldest son, his name is Lucas. And Lucas is with his mom, and yet he's still looking. Who's he looking for? His family, right? He's still looking for something that he's hoping is coming. My favorite scene in the whole movie is these two little boys. They see Lucas from a distance. And you know what they do? Lucas! Lucas! They run as fast as a little boy can run. Lucas! You know what that makes me think of? When I see Jesus, I'm going to be crying out, Jesus. And like that little boy, I'm going to run as fast as I can. Because he will be my God. I will be part of his people. And everything will be made right. When's the last time you wanted something that bad? Badly. Right? What happens? We get distracted. We get trouble. We get hurting. You guys got to bear with the preacher. I'm going to be breathing for like 20 minutes now. But what I'm trying to challenge us is to have that desire that says, more than anything, I want to see my Lord. And when I see him, I'm going to be desperate. I'm going to be pursuing. I'm going to be chasing with all that I have. What came the first time is coming even greater the second time, whether it was justice, whether it was reconciliation. And so today I would tell you, when the angels came and they declared the birth of Jesus, what did they say, right? Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. The peace that is coming is going to be unbelievable to the peace that has already come. So we see this here in that day. It came once, it is yet to come as well. So we look and we long for those things. Isaiah also says, and God will make salvation the walls and the ramparts of the city. Salvation is clearly the key of this city that is to come. And God is the one making the salvation. Not we as a people. God is the one. He is the power. He's the protection of the city. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Hebrews chapter 11. I think we forget this a lot. I think we forget to look for this city. Isaiah is writing about it, and here in the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews says Abraham was looking for it. Sometimes we're so content with where we are, we forget what is in store. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, the author of Hebrews writes, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed, and he went, even though he did not know where he was going. Look at verse 9. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Look at verse 10. For he was looking forward to the what? To the city whose architect and whose builder is God. Are you tracking with me now? Isaiah 26. Isaiah says, God is the maker of the city, right? He's the one who built the ramparts. He's the one who builds the walls. And the walls and the ramparts are his salvation. It is his work. Abraham says, I've got a lot of good things from God, but I am looking for the city. And I want to encourage us today that we don't stop looking for the Lord's coming when everything is made right. For the righteous and for those who keep faith, they will enter. All right, let's move to verse 3. So the question then becomes, okay, in what have you placed your trust? Where is your trust at? Verse 3, the Bible says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord himself is the rock eternal. He humbles those who dwell on high. He lays the lofty city low. He levels it to the ground and he casts it down to the dust. Feet trample it down. And whose feet is it? The feet of the oppressed. The feet of the poor. All right. Now hang with me here. This is amazing. Again, it's things that only God can do. And so we pursue the Lord to see these things. If you don't have verse 3 highlighted, I encourage you this morning, highlight verse 3. Again, if you will keep your mind stayed on the Lord and put your trust in him, his perfect peace will abide on you. Even in a chaotic world, perfect peace can be found. It is possible for those who keep their minds on the Lord. Let's word it this way, and this is something I've really seen this in young people, and it really troubles me, and I'm still trying to find a path to encourage our young adults and our young people, but I see so many young people today that anxiety is just everywhere for them. Anybody else notice that? Right? The way I've worded it is, if you're dealing with anxiety, where is your mind? If you're dealing with anxiety, where is your mind? What fills your mind, right? And what fills most of our mind most of the time? I don't know if this is true or not. I saw a study that they were saying that people were spending over 3 hours a day on this. I was like, 3 hours a day? Who has 3 hours a day to do that? But what happens with our young people is they start doing the scrolling. A lot of us are doing the same scrolling. And the next thing you know, they have all this news that we normally wouldn't have had. They see all the bad. They hear all the trauma. They see everybody else's life that is only the best parts of that life. And they compare their own. And they're filled with anxiety. They're filled with fear. He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in him. Where's your mind? you guys need to pick on the preacher a little bit, and I need to poke on you, some of you, a little bit as well, right? The next time we're at a family gathering, we're all sitting around a table, and everybody's got 8 phones out. Set them down and talk to each other. Hear one another's stories. Tell me about your day. Tell me about your week. Tell me what you're excited about. Tell me what you're scared about. Tell me how you're learning to trust in the Lord. And that will help our mind get where it needs to be. All right? Everybody tracking with that? There is a little, you don't even have to pay extra for that this morning. All right? That is something that troubles me. And I think what we see here is that the Lord in his coming has made a path out of the anxiety. He's made a path to peace if we can keep our mind on him. The second idea, which is very similar, is where are you placing your trust? Is your trust in your money? Is your trust in your job and maybe some of the status that comes with that? Is your trust in a certain relationship or in all in one other person? We have to be so careful where we place our trust. Jill Briscoe put it this way. I thought it was really good. She said, we can worry or we can worship. We can worry or we can worship. Strangely enough, busy people find it a whole lot easier to worry than to worship. Lord, even this morning, was speaking to me about quiet. Again, I've got to keep fighting that in my life. I need more quiet. I need to make space for more quiet so I can put my mind on the Lord and place my trust in him. If you guys go back just a series ago, think back as we talked about rest, right? And a rhythm of rest and how peace and keeping your mind focused on the Lord and rest, they're all so tied together, okay? They really cling to each other. When we truly put our trust in the Lord and we place our life and our joy in his hands, then we can stay or keep our mind on him. And then, again, notice the promise. We what? We will have perfect peace. And it's not a one-time thing, right? Most of us like a good one-time thing, right? I signed the contract, give it to me, I should have it the rest of my life. But what this is a daily and sometimes an hourly thing, right? Keep pushing my focus to trust in the Lord. Again, the Lord is our rock. He's the eternal one. He doesn't change. He is our foundation. And again, this is pulled right from Isaiah. The wise man, what did he build his house upon? Oh, come on. See, some of you guys, we're so old, I don't even know if we do the little kid song enough anymore, right? I might have to run around the church again to get you guys awake this morning. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. Now, your version may depend on which part of the country you're in. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm, right? Okay. Everybody tracking with that? How many of you have never even heard that? I'm just curious. Like a lot of you, right? Okay. Foolish man built his house upon the sand, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand, and the rains came tumbling down, right? The rains came down, the floods came up. The rains came down, the floods came up. The rains came down, and the floods came up, and the house on the sand went. The kids love that one. Splat, right? What was the end verse? So build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, right? He is the rock. Are you dealing with a lot of anxiety? Are you dealing with a lot of chaos? You're dealing with a lot of stress? Dealing with a lot of worry, a lot of fear? Where have you placed your trust? What are you building your life on? Are you building it on a really good insurance policy and a 401k and a nice Social Security plan? What are you building your life on? I mean, we're smiling, but you guys know where I'm going, right? We have all this worry and all this fear because our trust is in all of our stuff. And Jesus says, if you want to find peace, you got to put your trust in me and not in the stuff. You let the Lord speak. You let the Lord guide this morning. I'm just challenging you in that, that you would not let that overtake you. He will make things right. Justice is coming. Put your trust in the Lord. So let's see if we can make him the desire of our hearts, the desire of our hearts. Look down at verse 7. Again, Isaiah writing, The path of the righteous is level. You, the upright one, make the way of the righteous smooth. Yes, Lord, walking in the way of your laws, we wait for you. Your name and renown are the what? The desire of our hearts. My soul yearns for you in the night. In the morning, my spirit longs for you. When your judgments come upon the earth, the people of the world learn righteousness. Man, it's so good. The righteous, these are those who are in right standing with God. They make choices based upon their standing with God. You are made righteous by Jesus. Everybody tracking with me here for a second, okay? You can't make yourself righteous today, all right? You can give a lot of money to charity. You can come to church every Sunday. You can go help feed the poor and the hungry. You can go help the hospital. You can go work in the jail. You can go to the crisis pregnancy care center. You can go help the immigrant. You can go help in the nursing home. All those are wonderful things. Go do all those things as the Lord leads you to do them. But none of those things will earn you righteousness with God. What earned you righteousness was Jesus' death on a tree. And if you put your trust in him, God says, Jesus' righteousness is imputed to you. And when God looks at you, he sees Jesus. That's a deal, okay? Righteousness is not something you earn. Now, out of that, if you have been changed, if you have been saved, if you have been delivered, guess what? You start making decisions that are based on the Word of God, and you start making righteous choices. Not because you're just the one doing it, but because God is at work in you. And here we see that this is what the righteous, what they look like and what they do and what their reward is. Here the Bible says, Isaiah says, the Lord makes our path smooth. And I want to be careful about this. I think some people hear this idea, oh, the Lord made the path smooth. He made it level. That must mean if you are following the Lord, everything is easy, right? Can everybody attest to that today? Everybody in here that's right with God? Everything is easy and smooth. Just listen to our prayer request time, right? Doesn't take long to realize that, okay? But what I would tell you is just like the yoke of the Lord, remember that? We're talking about rest. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor, all ye that are heavy laden, and take my what? Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is what? Easy, and my burden is light. Wait, what? Did Jesus have it easy? He didn't have a place to stay. He died on a cross. But what he's saying there is that when we put ourselves in line with the Lord, then the peace that we have inside is easy and it is right and it is smooth and it is level. That our spirit is where the Lord would have us to be. I was sharing with Brother Rick today, my body is still tired from this weekend. I don't know if it's whatever, sleep apnea or whatever. But my spirit is refreshed. Because right now, at least in my life, I am trying to hear the Lord's voice and obey as he calls. And in that, I can find smoothness and easy with his yoke. Not that there won't be trouble this week or next week, but I know that it's going to be easy as I walk with him. In other words, it will be right in me as I follow his voice. Isaiah here states that these people are walking in God's laws. They are waiting on him to make their choices. And most of all, their desire is God's name and his renown, his glory. What's your ambition? You guys have any ambition? Some of you do, right? When I was about probably a sophomore in high school, I had ambition. I was going to dunk a basketball. And if you could talk to my mom, in every possible place that was above my head where I have to jump to touch, there would be dirty fingerprints on every wall and every ceiling and every door frame and every doorpost, because I was going to duck. I even ordered a little leaflet booklet that had 6 steps of plyometrics to make you a better jumper so you could dunk. I had ambition. What did I think about at night? How am I going to lift this leg so I can get this up here? How can I stretch my hand so I can palm that ball? What am I going to, my ambition in the morning was, what stretches can I do that's going to, what tricks can I do? Did you guys ever see the shoes that had the big heels on the bottom? Or actually on the toes? Like, they were about 3 inches, and they made you like 3 inches taller. They were supposed to strengthen your calves. I even wore some of those at college trying to dunk. It was my ambition. It was my desire. It's what all I could hardly think about, right? What's your ambition? I wish I'd have given you cards and a paper this morning. If you were to write it, maybe give me your top three, just in your mind right now. What are your top three ambitions right now? Seriously, what are you really thinking about most of the time? For many of you, it was Black Friday and it's Cyber Monday. You've been thinking a lot about something, right? Hello? Am I missing it? Right? It's been in your mind. You've been on Amazon, you've been on whatever stores you've been on, you've been looking for the best deal, because that's what's in your mind, right? And here's what I'm challenging you to this morning. What was the desire of the righteous? What was their heart's desire? The Lord's what? His name and his renown. To that extent was making him famous. Letting the works of the Lord be known so that all people on the earth would know the glory of God. And if you look here, how often did they encounter it? How often were they thinking about it? He says, I desire, I yearn for you. He says, I do it in the evening and I do it in the morning, right? It's what I can think about. All I can think about is the Lord and about his name and his glory. What is your ambition? What's the desire of your heart? If you can be honest about that, you also may have a clue about why anxiety is present and peace is absent some of the time. When our highest ambition is to be placed in the Lord's disposal for his name, for his renown, his peace that passes all understanding will guard our hearts. And in case you don't believe me, let's turn over to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4, 6. Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And what? The peace of God. What kind of peace is it? The kind that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Anxiety's coming in. Peace has got me guarded. Are you following that? Anxiety is hitting to my heart. Peace says, nope. The peace of Jesus fills this. There's no room for any anxiety here. Fear is coming my way. It's coming to my mind. It's wanting to attack my mind. And peace says, nope, there's no room in here, because only faith and peace are allowed in this place, because it's God's peace that passes all understanding. And it will guard my heart and it will guard my mind. I'm not making this stuff up, people. Look at it, right? But how did you get there? You made petitions. You gave prayers with thanksgiving. You gave the fear to God. And you put your mind to stay and to rest on him. Again, notice the heart of Isaiah, seeking God in the night and in the morning. If we want to replace fear with peace, we got to put our trust and stay our mind on Jesus. All right, finally, look down at verse 10, back in Isaiah 26. We'll finish up here this morning. Justice and peace will surely come. Verse 10, but when grace is shown to the wicked, they do not learn righteousness. Even in a land of uprightness, they go on doing evil, and they do not regard the majesty of the Lord. Verse 11, Lord, your hand is lifted high, but they do not see it. Let them see your zeal for your people and be put to shame. Let the fire reserved for your enemies consume them. Lord, you establish peace for us. All that we have accomplished, you have done for us. This is such a clear reminder that God is in charge. I skipped over at the beginning, but did you see who was trampling the city in the first paragraph? It was the oppressed and the poor. What do you think is maybe the strongest fort in the United States? I have to talk to you military people, because I don't know, right? Fort Knox, maybe, right? As we would think of all the gold maybe that is supposedly there, right? Can you imagine all of the most oppressed and the poorest of all people, with no money, with no weapons, with no talent, with no skill, going in and trampling Fort Knox and taking all the plunder that they wanted? How could that happen? Only God, right? That's what Isaiah is saying about the city. The oppressed and the poor trampled it because God is the one who was in control of it. Again, I remind you, especially at this time of year, it may appear that the wicked are prospering, but again, they're prospering. Their prosperity is temporary. They don't learn righteousness even when grace is given. Not my words, but the words of Isaiah. God's zeal for his people will be displayed. He will consume his enemies. Not my words. Don't underestimate or forget God's love for his people. He's the one who establishes peace, your personal peace, his kingdom peace. He is the one who will do it. Put your trust in him. All right, here's where we're wrapping up this morning. You have a choice this holiday season, this Advent season. You're actually, this is kind of cool because this is actually day one. So you could start today and not have missed a day. You can go through the hustle and the bustle, and you can worry about every little thing that you have no control over, and you can make one bad choice here and another one there, or you can give your cares and your thanksgiving to the Lord. But you will need to take time to give it away, and you'll need to do it every single day. But oh, the promise. There is peace to be had, peace to be held, peace to be kept, a perfect peace that keeps and guards and protects, but we must make room for Jesus. We must truly long for his coming, and until we figure that out, we'll struggle with peace in our circumstances. Stacy Woods wrote it out this way. I thought this was really good. I hope you'll take this to heart. And if you got questions, you can always talk to me afterwards, but I just thought it was a reminder of how much we need the Lord. Stacy said, the trend of government is to undergird us with material securities from the cradle to the grave, providing all kinds of insurances and health insurance, old age insurance, education, unemployment, and so on. In addition, we insure ourselves against fire and earthquake and hurricane and accident and even old age. These safeguards are not wrong, but they can very easily become a serious hindrance to our complete trust in God. Now look at this. Undoubtedly, if our debts are paid and our refrigerator is full, if we have money in the bank, we have a tendency to feel secure in ourselves and to sense our need of God less. And herein lies the danger. My greatest need is to feel and know my need of God every day. Every hour. The hymn writer wrote, I need thee every hour, most precious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee every hour. I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. Amen. You want peace this season? Man, I do. It's going to be a daily battle. But we're on day one, and we can work through it together, all right? One final time, the last verse, we're going to end where we started. Isaiah writes, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee.